Welcome back to China, and I am here at one of the highlights of this trip to China, one of the most famous places in the entire country, and you have guessed it by now, probably. It's the Great Wall of China. I am standing at the foot of this big staircase in front of me, and it just curves around the side of one of the green hills. And when I turn around, I'm surrounded by incredibly high mountains far away in the distance, and part of the wall also on the other side. There's some Chinese guys here running down the stairs. They made it to the end and they're very elated. I'm still at the beginning of this journey, and I have to say that it looks a bit daunting because the staircase in front of me just goes up almost vertically. I've been told that there are at least 1,700 steps that I have to climb in order to get to the top. And of course, the top is a relative thing, because this wall is more than 6,000 kilometers long. And so I will only be able to see a very, very small portion of it. But I'm still going to climb it with you. So we stopped with the bus at the bottom of this valley here behind me, and already here the steps are very, very steep. Wow, look at that, there's a big bug here sitting on the on one of the steps, and it has a very bright red-yellow underbelly. It was flipped over by the wind, and now it turned itself over. His wings are almost the same color as the stones of these staircases. The pavement, by the way, is very, very used up. You can tell that for generations people have been climbing these steps, and so they once were straight, but now they're all curved and wobbly. And wow, I'm looking up here. I can see my mom, she's trying to climb these stairs, and we're only at the beginning, but she's already struggling quite a bit, I can tell. How are you doing, Mom?
It's very bad. I think I can't reach the top.
Did you expect it to be this bad?
No, not at all. Stairs are too high.
Yes.
And I'm afraid that when we are going downstairs, it will be more difficult.
It could be, yes. Well, take your time. Go slowly and pace yourself.
Okay, and rest.
And take a rest. The first little tower there in the distance is not too far away. No. You will be able to make it to that one, and then take some time and then perhaps continue.
Okay, I will.
Take care. I'll catch you later. So yes, of course, this is quite a challenge for my mom, who's now 72 years old. You wouldn't tell, but still, she is. And so, for her, it is quite the climb. I have to say, even for me, this is challenging. And it's a very good way to burn off all the calories of this great Chinese food that we've been enjoying for the past 5 days now. The staircase is getting a little bit narrower here, and people are also coming down. There is just one way back, of course, as you can imagine. And so, especially in these narrow passages, we gotta be careful not to bump into each other. It's a really nice sunny day. Actually, a little bit too sunny, if you ask me, because the temperature has risen quite a bit compared to this morning. Although the breeze is nice and cool, but the walls here, on my left specifically, are a bit high, and so they stop the wind. They shield us from the wind, which normally is a good thing in the winter, I suppose. But I would welcome a little breeze. So, continuing to climb up these stairs, and the Chinese wall was built originally as a defense wall against the Mongolian armies up in the north, the border with Mongolia was a very vulnerable area, because of course the people are asking for chocolate for some reason. That's the last thing I'd eat right now, because it makes you very thirsty. So I'm actually passing by some of the other members of my group, and just continuing to climb upwards. So because the border with Mongolia in the north was so stretched out, it was extremely difficult to defend. That is the reason that at one point they decided to build this enormous wall, so that not only it would keep the Mongolians out, but it would also be a huge vantage point, because it stretches out over the tops of the hills and mountains. You'd expect people to build this wall in the valleys, but they didn't. They used let me see, there's a little train here in the valley. Can you hear it? So already the view is stunning from here. See the parking lot down below, all the little Chinese buildings, the hotels, and very far in the way, where it gets really misty, you can see the first buildings of the huge city of Beijing. That's where that train is heading to, and the train itself looks like a very modern train, but it still curls around these century-old, millennia-old mountains to make its way for Beijing. And here we've arrived at the first small tower, same gray stone that is used for the rest of the stairs. And as you can tell, I'm pretty much out of breath, because it's steep, but also I'm trying to talk instead of breathing. So the thing that encourages me is that all these tourists are on their way back, and they look pretty relaxed. So stepping inside this small tower, it's really dark all of a sudden, and the temperature immediately drops once you're shielded from the sun. And there are two windows on each side of this tower from which you can see the valley below here. You've got a very good view of the entire valley. So I'm now looking into the direction of Beijing. So I see the skyscrapers there in the distance, and then mountainsides on both sides of the road. Also the highway that they constructed is going through the valleys. So the wall, instead of being built in the valleys, was built on the top of the hills. And hey, interesting. I discovered a small staircase here that goes to the top of this tower. Let's climb it. I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to, but hey, nothing tells me that I can, so I'm just gonna climb up. Wow, these steps are very high. I'm turning around a corner, and look at that. I am now standing on top of this tower. There's a security camera attached to the side of this thing, pointing down so they can monitor the first ledge, the first half, first piece of this staircase. And I can see the sweaty tourists making their way up. And especially for the elderly, of course, this is quite a climb. But then again, as usual, it's worth the effort. I had another trip yesterday afternoon. when we were still in Chungde, you know, the city with the summer palace of the emperor. And at the end of the day, we climbed up a hill to visit a Buddhist temple that was built there for the Tibetan monks by the emperor. And I'm going to go down these stairs again for my second ledge of my Great Wall tour. So the Chinese emperor built a huge monastery in red brick with a golden roof on top of a hill. And to get there, we also had to climb a mountain. And then inside the monastery, we also had to climb many stairs to get to the top of the roof. It was a huge climb. It was just as hot as today. But wow, that was such an amazing view. And the monastery itself on the inside was so impressive. So all of a sudden, you turn a corner in this huge red brick building, and all of a sudden you're in an inner courtyard with like three floors with wooden balconies, all painted in a very detailed way. And the fact that the building was made out of wood just immediately dampened the sound, and because it was so high, and the courtyard was really surrounded by these floors where the monks would live, it would dampen the sound and would also give a lot of shadow. And there were no monks there, but you definitely could tell, you could feel the silence of that monastery and the meditative atmosphere there. It was very impressive. And then climbed all the way to the top to see that golden roof. And it was not just one rooftop, it was actually several smaller rooftops covered in gold. I mean, this was not a manner of speaking. It's not just like yellow or orange tiles. Actual gold was used for the rooftops, and in total, they calculated that the emperor used more than 1,000 kilograms of gold. Whew. All right, we're now at a second in-between platform here, and the stairs are getting smaller and smaller. And right in front of me is a staircase that is just about two people wide, and as you can tell, people are coming down those stairs as well. So there's a railing, though, that is new, so you can find some extra support if you're climbing upstairs. And when I look to my right, I can see a nice tiny little temple built on top of that hill. I don't know if you can reach it. There might be actually a path from that tower over there in the distance that leads down to that little temple, and from there you must have an amazing view as well. But the view here is already quite spectacular, and I can see another part of the Great Wall on the other side of the valley. And one of the towers is really big, even is painted in red and has a much more rectangular roof. And it seems to me that is actually, that might be one of the points where the Great Wall is interrupted, because, you know, this thing has been built such a long time ago that many parts of the Great Wall are now destroyed or broken, or just completely broken, and you can't walk on that wall anymore. And so the parts that are open to visitors, like this one, they've been restored as early as the 18th century, and they continue to restore it and improve it. But there are very long stretches that you can't get to. And of course, you should climb into a helicopter, and then you'd have a wonderful view of the entire wall. But this is the largest man-made structure on the planet, you know, visible from satellites, perhaps even from the moon. Some of these guys have just way too much energy, but they're on the way down, so that's easy. So it's getting very steep here again, and sometimes these steps are so far apart that you have to really put some strength, some energy into putting one foot forward after the other. Here we go. There's another guy with a pink t-shirt and a photo camera that is holding onto the rails here. And this music is coming from the handbag, I'm not kidding you, of this old Chinese lady that is coming down. And there's this blaring sound of Chinese music, probably coming from a hidden radio inside her purse. Well, that's a way to visit these places, but I prefer the more natural silence of the surrounding air. Well, here's another beacon tower. This is number 9, says the sign, so stepping inside, and it's identical to the previous ones. Slightly bigger though. I can count 3 windows on 2 sides and then 2 windows on the other side, so it's slightly bigger. And from here, of course, they could observe the surroundings, and they could also, if necessary, fire at, you know, bow and arrow kind of fire at the enemy. Here are some warning signs in Chinese and English. Cell phones prohibited during thunderstorms. I wouldn't be climbing this wall in the middle of a thunderstorm, to be honest. And then it says no climbing over the battlements. Yeah, not something I would naturally do either. And then no smoking. And that is that's good that they mention that, because the Chinese like to smoke, and so they often do, even in hotel rooms and on the bus, and naturally, of course, also on the street. So you don't have that same regulation that we have in Europe, where basically in the public space you're not allowed to smoke. Here it's still a normal thing, but fortunately, on this great wall, people can't smoke, which is probably not to preserve this monument, but it is because of the surroundings. Both on my left and on my right is just green vegetation, trees and plants, and this can be a very dry area as well. Ever since we've been here, I've only seen a few small clouds in the sky, but otherwise, summertime here is just very dry, and you can imagine that if you would throw a smoking cigarette into the trees or plants here on the sides, it might actually catch fire pretty easily. Hence the prohibition to smoke. So, largest structure, man-made structure in the world. You have to keep in mind, and it's kind of mind-boggling, you know, it takes me so much effort to climb these stairs, but every single step of this staircase consists of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times 2, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, around 27 to 30 stones. And probably even more. And so, you know, 30 stones for one step times 1,700 steps just for this small piece of the wall that we are climbing. All those stones had to be made, had to be crafted, and then had to be transported. And there were no cars, there were no airplanes or buses. All this was transported on the back of animals, sheep, donkeys. I was about to say monkeys, but probably not. And so it is just, and then once you have them in the valley, you still have to carry them upstairs. And these walls just go on and on and on for miles and miles, for thousands of kilometers, and all those stones had to be brought to the top of these mountains. And here I'm just looking at hills, but there are parts of the Chinese wall, of the Great Wall, that are built on top of really tall mountains. And it would take an experienced climber perhaps a day or more to get to the top. So imagine, you know, people going to the top by foot or just with a donkey, with hundreds of stones on the back of that animal. It's mind-boggling. Is that a warning sign that says, if you have heart or brain disease, please ascend the Great Wall according to your capability? It's another good warning. Although you'd think that they would put that on the bottom of the staircase. So now it's too late if you have a brain injury. Right there in front of me, a little bit higher, is a police officer or a guard talking to some tourists. I hope they don't mind me recording this podcast. He seems very relaxed though, but I'm always a bit weary. And then on my left I can see the battlements and another tower. That tower, a little bit more elaborate than the previous two ones. The previous two ones have just stone battlements on top of them and a little house probably built on top of the staircase that leads to the platform. This one has like a nice wooden roof and it's beautiful. It's really like red and green and it looks more like a little temple. It's very, very nice. This is tough. And no shadow, that's the worst. Nihama. You see, I'm trying to adapt to the Chinese culture and try to be very polite. The guard just passed me and I could tell that he was wondering what to do because he saw me walking up and talking into this microphone. And so he was kind of examining me. I just kept on walking and talking and smiling. So apparently he didn't find a reason to stop me, which is a good thing. Although I cannot really imagine that they would be opposed to this, because after all, this is a very long 30-minute ad for their Great Wall. Well, I think I'm currently at the forefront of our group. And boy, am I glad that I am fitter than I was a couple of years ago. Let's take some rest. Here's a bit of shadow. This is this little temple-like building that I was talking about. It's actually the Great Wall Handicraft Store. So here are a couple of stands here where they sell handcrafted items like chopsticks and little statuettes, drawings, and on the inside also ceramics. I don't think that they craft that here though. I think this is just a point where they sell it. Holy moly. And it's one of the many, many photographers sitting here in the shadow of the wall that is ready to take your picture, print it out on one of these fancy color printers so you can have a nice souvenir. Wow. So I am standing at a junction. Well, not really a junction, but there is another flight of stairs in front of me. And this is going to be another exhausting adventure because it just curls around. It's a very nice spot though. Absolutely photo material. And so I take out my camera and I gotta take a picture because that too, you know, I'm talking to you guys, but also I would like to keep a visual souvenir of this visit myself as well. Because audio is great, but video is even greater. Now, of course, I have to put this thing back into my bag while keeping the microphone in my hands. Boy, would I give some money for a floating microphone, one that would just, you know, one of those little Star Wars droids that George Lucas added to Star Wars 4, A New Hope. You know, the security droids that just float around the heads of the stormtroopers. Well, I wish I could rent one of those, attach a camera and a microphone to it, and not having to carry all that equipment with me when I do these tours. I'm used to it, but it's still every time a bit of a challenge to jungle it around. This is the ringtone of the cell phone of this Chinese man here. He's coming from the other direction. I gotta take a short moment here, catch my breath. Oh, the view from here is just stunning, absolutely stunning. Oh man. Let me turn to the other side. Wow, there's a valley on my left. I've turned around, so I'm now looking down at the area below, and I see the valley that leads to Beijing. There's also another valley, and it looks very, very much like a park or something. Seems to be a building with red roofs. Very nice. That whole area has been flattened, I can tell. And there could be a museum there, something like that. And then the mountains on the right side are beautiful. They're so different from the mountains in Europe. They're covered bottom to top with trees. That's the first difference. Most of those trees actually, I think, are planted, because I can see these little tiny lines. So it's almost as if they've just replanted trees on all these mountains in the surroundings, perhaps to prevent them from eroding. I don't know. But it adds a bit of an artificial quality to the mountains. Almost looks like the mountains. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those miniature train sets. I'm an old man, so
I used to play with these old train sets when you guys weren't even born.
And you could buy these mountains, plastic mountains, which could with tunnels in them, so the trains, your little toy train, could enter that tunnel. And those mountains looked a bit like the mountains here on my left. Oh man, this is more exhausting than I thought it would be. You know, I've seen plenty of photos, film clips of the Great Wall, and oftentimes they show you a different part of the wall. There is a tourist area much closer to Beijing, which is kind of the spot for tourists to visit the Great Wall. And I don't remember these having ever seen so many staircases. I'm at yet another tower here. This must be number 10 or so. And the wall, the Great Wall that I've seen in movies, it's always looked like a big road surrounded by battlements. And they don't show you the stairs you have to climb to get to that point, probably. But up we go. Ni hao.
Ni hao, ni hao.
Just courageously continuing this climb. We've come all the way to China, so I shall climb the Chinese Wall. Holy cow. Can I say that in China? Oh yes, it's in India that the cows are holy. Okay, where do I go? This tower is probably also used from time to time as a public toilet, at least judging from the smell of it. Anyway, we're outside again in the fresh air. And hey, oh, look at that. I think I'm getting my reward because I'm now at a part of the wall where there are no more steps, just a road, a paved road with gray stones. And it's still climbing. It's climbing quite a bit. But here's another warning sign, says bad weather slip hazard. Yes, I think if it rains, this can be a very slippery slope, literally. Whew. So this actually might be a more horizontal part of the great road. And so instead of making tiny little steps, it's easier to just use regular pavement. And this starts to look more like the kind of great wall pictures that I've seen before, although a little bit smaller, not as wide. Here's another official public toilet and some souvenir sellers here with medals that you can buy. And so, you know, nobody's going to give you a reward for climbing this wall, so you'll have to buy the reward yourself. All right. So, I don't know what tower this is. This is another really nice spot for a photo. So let's pause here for a second so I can catch my breath. We must be getting to the end of this particular mountaintop, though. And not a moment too soon. Oh, I love the way in which this wall here curves up. Blue sky in the distance. And one tower on the left, and the battlements here, and the Great Wall curves to the left, and then after that, it curves upward to the right to the second tower that I can see from here. So perspective-wise, it's a very pretty sight. This is again just one of the regular defense towers, and also has a little miniature house on top of it, or house, it's a little, you know, roofed cabin almost. I wonder if that's for the guard, or I don't know, probably just so they can watch the surroundings and yet be shielded from the sun. This is number 12, Beacon Tower. Now from here I can have a better look of that wall on the other side of the valley, and it's actually there are two parts of the Great Wall coming together there. So that bigger building, that red painted building, is at the end of a part of the wall where these two merge, and that's actually where it ends into more battlements. So that could just have been an outpost for guards or anything. Entering this other tower. This is big. This is the biggest that I've been in so far. Almost feels like a small chapel with these big stone pillars and windows all around. Wow, beautiful view again of the mountains. Oh, I can see a tunnel and a road that goes straight through the mountain there. A few cars, tiny, tiny little cars. That shows me how high up I am already. And let's see. Here's some more music here. It is, I think, the music coming from the cell phone of this Chinese guy here who is catching his breath. And, well, that was a short-lived pleasure here, this flat road, because we're back onto the stairs. You're going up and up and up and up to that last tower. And the mountains are looking slightly more interesting from this point of view. Most of these mountains are covered in trees, but here some pieces of brown orange rock, just like, you know, almost like arrows, emerge from the lush greenery pointing upwards. Again, giving a very kind of alien appearance, so different from the mountains that I'm used to seeing in Europe. And a little bit of pavement, Let's enjoy the pavement. Oh, and it's such a difference. If you walk on the pavement, it feels so relaxing. But, it's just a very, very short stretch. And here are the stairs again. Although for the first time, stairs are going down a bit. And this is because the wall follows the contours of these mountains. And so here we're going up again. These are tiny little steps, though. Just individual tiles, and not as hard to climb yet. But soon, I think it's gonna get harder again. So I'm just amazed to see that they built all this by hand. Now, as you can imagine, working on this great wall was not a very profitable business. This wall was built mostly by slaves and prisoners. And there was so much pressure on the advancement of the building of this wall that oftentimes, if people would succumb to the stress of this work, would fall ill and die, they'd be buried inside the wall. Anyhow, another guy listening to his cell phone or iPod or whatever it is to some Chinese music. I actually like that. It gives me a little bit of audio. All right. I can see some shadow on the mountaintops on my right, probably indicating clouds in the sky, but unfortunately those clouds are not above me. I'm continuing to walk in the blazing sunlight. And then of course I'm wearing my black clerics. Not the best reflective qualities. But hey, that's just part of the job. I can't climb this Great Wall of China in a Hawaiian t-shirt now, can I? That would be disrespectful to the Chinese people and to my listeners. The guy with the music catches up on me and is passing me by. That music must give him some energy because he's going fast. Very fast. I must have lost gallons of sweat by now. It's literally dripping down my nose, and even my handkerchief that I often use to wipe my forehead is now entirely wet soaked. I could film a survival video. Like, make sure you gather all the sweat that comes from your forehead, because one of the greatest threats to the wall climber is thirst. And so if you've gathered enough, you heat up a fire, and then the sweat will evaporate and you catch it in some tin foil, and it will drip down in your bottle and it will be pure fresh water. Something like that. I thought I was the only Dutchman that was on top of this mountain, but actually someone else came here before me. How's it going?
Pretty tired, but it's worth the climb, I think.
The view is amazing. Have you seen the rest of the Great Wall over there in the distance? That must be a couple of hundred kilometers from here, and it's still continuing there. I don't think we're going to get there today. I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll pass it by bus. I think it's on the route to the next town we'll visit.
Yeah, could very well be. Wow, yeah, the view is stunning. It's getting a bit hazy, though, so you can't see as far as you would be early in the morning. So, here is... Oh, this is the end. This is it. I was preparing to go further, but I'm looking down this tower, and below me is just a piece of rock. There are still some remains, I think, of the Great Wall, but it's crumbled.
There's another one. There's a little.
You can go up.
Oh, there's a little staircase?
Yeah, kind of dangerous looking,
but. We'll climb it. If it's dangerous, it's even better.
Are you stop recording like a journal?
I'm recording a podcast. So I'm putting this on the internet so that later on people can listen to it.
Oh, wow.
Are you guys from China?
We are from America.
From America?
Yeah.
Oh, and you're visiting?
Yeah, visiting.
Wonderful.
How about
Great.
You?
I'm from the Netherlands.
Okay.
Oh, Netherlands.
But a lot of my listeners are from America.
So
that's why I speak English, so they can understand.
Yeah.
Oh, well, as long as they understand, I'm happy. Well, there you go. Chinese tourists from America. Oh, wow, yeah, they weren't kidding when they said that this was a dangerous staircase. Actually, part of the staircase is gone. So I'm not sure if we can climb them. It should be possible, though. We can give it a try. This Chinese man here in front of me is also, like, wondering, shall I give it a try or not? Oh, he's agile, my goodness. Must be the Chinese music. I'm gonna try. There we go. First staircase. A few more steps. You know, I gotta tell everyone that I've been to the top of the top. I can't stop now, and here we are. Oh, on top of this tower. Oh, and I can see the Great Wall below me. All the curves. And I can see the highway that we took to get here. It's beautiful. It's really, really nice. And I gotta say, I'm grateful to this guy bringing this Chinese soundtrack with us. Because it just gives it this little extra Chinese touch. So, as you can imagine, people have carved their names into the dark gray stones here of the Great Wall. Most of them in Chinese characters, but you also see the occasional John or Peter. And even some Indian characters and some languages that I don't even recognize here. There's definitely some Japanese characters. And so this is just one of these towers from which you could see exactly what was happening on both sides of the mountain. That, of course, is why they built this Great Wall on top of the mountain and not in the valleys, because from here you can see exactly where the enemy is coming from. Now these beacon towers are called beacon towers for a reason, because they would also use these towers as a communication system. So if they saw Mongolian armies approaching, they would estimate the number of soldiers that were in that army, and you know, they could probably, I mean, from here you've got a crystal clear view of the valley below. I mean, I can count the individual cars. I can even see the people walking there near that house. There's a tiny little house in the distance, and I can see two or three people walking there to their car. So they could probably have a very accurate estimate of the number of soldiers that were approaching. And then what they would do is they would light a fire on top of this tower, and they would signal to all their soldiers would run to the next tower. And for every 100 soldiers that they saw approaching, they would light one fire, so that, let's say, for instance, in the direction of Beijing, they could count the number of fires, or, well, they probably wouldn't see the fire, but they would see the smoke, the columns of smoke. And if, for instance, they saw three columns of smoke, they would know that there were 300 soldiers approaching, and so they could mount an army that would be stronger than the army that was going to attack. And then, of course, the wall itself also was a very important defense mechanism. I mean, you can't just climb these walls. You'd probably have to use ladders. But first, you'd have to climb part of the mountainside. So even before you could get to the foot of the wall, you'd already have been shot at from these towers, from these battlements. And so it definitely was a fantastic defense structure. And the battlements that we've seen on both sides of the wall that we've been climbing are just the upper part of the wall. Actually, now I can see the side of these walls, and there is at least three times as much stone underneath the battlements than the battlements themselves. So you'd need tall ladders, and if you're on a ladder, you're even more vulnerable. So in order to get one soldier over this wall, you'd probably have to spend at least 10 or 20 before that last soldier could get to the battlements themselves. So this was a very, very important way for the Chinese to keep their country safe from attacks from the north. So the mountains that surround us are a little bit higher than this one, especially the ones on the other side of the valley. There is no wall there. However, if I look to the other side here, oops, there's a fly or a bug here. Oops, actually a couple of them. I can see the continuing part of the Great Wall. I don't know actually where it picks up again, but it just completely curves around the mountain and goes up and up and up and up, and it goes all the way to the top of that mountain. And that mountain is way higher than this one that I'm standing on. So again, this was pretty bad in terms of exercise, but there are other parts of the wall that are a lot worse. But it is worth the climb. It's absolutely worth the climb. So there you go, my dear listeners. We have done what I've always wanted to do, and something that I, of course, could not miss during this trip to China, and that is to climb the Great Wall of China with you. It's the Great Wall. We only did a little tiny piece of that great, great wall. But I hope you enjoyed it. You're hopefully a lot less tired than I am, and I still have to go all the way back. But I will take advantage of that to take some more pictures and to film some movie clips here, and no longer hindered by this microphone. But thank you so much for coming along. I hope you enjoyed it. And as usual, you can find more episodes, more adventures here in China and in so many other countries of the world on the website of the StarQuest Production Network at sqpn.com, or just Google for Father Roderick in China, and that will probably also lead you to these episodes. So from the Great Wall of China on this beautiful late afternoon, I'm saying goodbye, see you soon, and God bless.